يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون به علما.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم، إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Isra. Surah Al-Isra is important for many reasons, but one of them is that Allah عز وجل started and ended the surah with the mention of the Israelites, Banu Israel. That's important to know because the Israelites, Banu Israel, were considered people of knowledge, people that have knowledge of previous scripture. They had more prophets than anybody else. And so among the audience of the Prophet ﷺ, the religiously knowledgeable people were Banu Israel. And so Allah mentions them in the beginning and at the end of the surah. So in the middle, a lot of what the surah has to do with is people that have knowledge of deen, that are practicing. You know, unlike the mushrikun of Makkah who have no background, you know, Allah says, لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ أَبَاؤُهُمْ. You came to warn a group of people whose ancestors were not warned. Meaning for many generations, the mushrikun had no knowledge. So they were فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But as opposed to that, the Israelites had knowledge. In any case, Allah says this remarkable ayah, and that's really what I wanted to share with you and think about with you, is this short ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us a commandment, and really a prohibition, meaning Allah forbade us from something. And usually when you're forbidden from something, you think of an action, like don't eat this, or don't look at this, or don't do this, like they're actions. But here, Allah Azza wa Jalla is actually speaking not only of action, but also of thought. Allah's preventing us from thinking a certain way, or letting our minds be used a certain way, right? Because the Quran didn't just come to correct our behavior. As a matter of fact, before our behavior, the goal of the Quran seems to be to change the way we think. And that makes sense because unless you change the way you think and I change the way I think, our actions are not going to change. Right? So really it's our minds that are being influenced by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Which is why you find in the Quran, when Allah criticizes people, he says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْقِلُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So they think, so they understand, so they think, so they understand. Why don't you understand? Why don't they understand? Etc. And that's constantly a call on us to use our minds. In any case, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in this ayah, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. He says, don't become a follower, in a sense almost like a blind follower, or don't become overly confident in what you don't have any knowledge of. Qafa in Arabic is actually used for the back of an animal's neck. And when people used to ride the animal, then their eyes are constantly on this back of the neck. And wherever the animal turns, that's where your eyes turn. The scenery is changing, but that is one constant. It's kind of like the steering wheel in your car. Wherever you go, one thing is constant in your view, that's your steering wheel. It's right there. You can't escape it, right? So the idea of the word qafa is actually to follow something that you are just, it's a constant, it's always there, and it's like it can't move. Everything else can change, this can't change. Now what Allah is commenting on here, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that for some people, there are some kinds of ideas or some assumptions that are like the foundation of a building, they're always there. And then everything else they think about is built on top of that. Okay? To make this easier to understand, let's look at it another way. Somebody walks into the masjid and says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everybody heard it. Everybody saw the person, everybody heard it. But everybody, not everybody's thinking the same thing. They're looking at the same thing. They're hearing the same thing, but one person saying, mashallah, he said salam. Then some other guy's thinking, what does he think he is? Walking in and saying salam like that. I don't like the look on this guy's face. People are processing things differently. Everybody's got their own base, and on top of that, they're building their thinking, you understand? So Allah says, don't formulate opinions, or don't formulate thoughts based on something you don't fully know. What happens for human beings is, we know some bits of information, and we fill in the blanks with our assumptions. We fill in the rest of the blanks with our assumptions. So if somebody's walking that way, or somebody came late, then okay, now for some people, as soon as they see they came in late, some people, man, they can't even leave dunya behind. It's Jum'ah time, astaghfirullah. These are the thoughts that are running in somebody's mind. In somebody else's mind, I don't know what just happened. I don't know if it was a death in his family, I don't know if there was an accident. I don't know what trouble they're having. I pray they're doing okay. That's another kind of thinking. But the second kind of thinking was based on what? I don't know. It's just, the baseline was, I don't know. And because I don't know, I will not formulate other opinions. What I see and what I hear is not enough. What I see and what I hear is not enough. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then builds on this idea in this short but profound ayah. لا تقف ما ليس لك به علم. Don't become confident and follow. As a matter of fact, in Ibn Manzur in Islam al-Arab commenting on this word, he said, لا تقف بمعنى إذا قلت سمعت ولم تسمع أو رأيت ولم ترى. Meaning, if you say, you know, you act as though you know the whole story, even though you don't. Or you act as if you know, I know everything, but you don't. You just see one bit and you can fill in the rest with your imagination. And what happens when people get used to doing that is they become very confident in their assumptions. Very confident. So if somebody come to you, maybe somebody in your family, this person is no good. How do you know they're no good? I know people. No, how do you know? But I know. I know, okay? I wasn't born yesterday. I can tell from just looking at someone what's going on with them. And so, this idea that you're so confident about sizing someone up, just from the look on their face, or just from the way they're dressed, or just from one thing they said, you can say one thing and I know everything about you now. I got you all figured out. This is la taqfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm. And this is not just done in your personal life. This is done in the media. This is done in politics. This is done in academics. This is done in every sphere of life. You can take bits of information and create a story. Now let's, before I get to the rest of the ayah, again, I want you to visualize some things. You see, the way information works, the way knowledge works, I could quote one ayah, and I could quote another ayah, and another ayah, and another ayah, and give you a conclusion. Right? And I could quote 5, 6, 7, 8 ayat or hadith, and at the end of those ayat and hadith, there is a conclusion. And if you don't know any better, you would think, man, he has all this evidence for his conclusion, because he proved his point using Quran and Sunnah. But it's possible, and this is the part I really need you to pay attention to, it's possible for people to come up with a conclusion first, and then make a list of the evidences later. Knowledge is supposed to be, first you come up with evidence, you think about the evidence, and then you come up with the conclusion. So the conclusion is supposed to be the last thing you arrive at. But in some people's mind, and I've seen this happen in the study of Islam, forget something else, in the study of Islam you can have, somebody decides that women are inferior, or women are bound to go to hell. Somebody decided that this is their thesis. Now that they've made that conclusion, they're going to find bits and pieces of ayat and hadith from wherever they can find, and string together, and then give a speech, and it sounds like they got so much to need to get to this conclusion. And all the hadith, all the ayat that contradict this conclusion are somehow missing. They weren't mentioned. But for someone listening, it sounds like they are following knowledge. This is also and the antithesis of وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. This is what they do in the media, don't they? They take one story, one soundbite, one snippet, one incident, one picture, then another one, then another one, then another one, and paint a picture about a group of people, paint an entire picture about a religion, and come at that conclusion. When you say, where did you get this conclusion? They said, look at all this evidence. And conveniently, all the evidence that contradicts this conclusion is missing. This is why when you try to arrive at a conclusion, you and I are supposed to look at the evidence for something, and also with an open mind look at the evidence against something, and really find a balanced view towards the end, and then say, okay, this is the conclusion one has to reach. What's Allah's remedy? Allah's remedy in this ayah is actually the remembrance, interestingly enough, it's the remembrance of Judgment Day. It seems unconnected. It seems the ayah in the beginning was, don't follow something that you're not certain of. Don't make the false basis for your thoughts. He says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ. Now we'll stop there for a second. He mentions three things. He says, hearing, seeing, and the heart. He mentions three components. Hearing, seeing, and the heart. And these three are in order. The first thing we're going to be asked about is hearing. Hearing. And hearing is more important than seeing for human beings. As a matter of fact, the most important gift that human beings have been given is the Quran. And the Quran is not something to see, the Quran is something to hear. Believers all over the world. their declaration of faith is we hear and we obey. We heard a messenger calling to the call. سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Right? فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Listen to it. The message is supposed to be heard before anything else. Heard before anything else. And this is important. You would think, but the eyes are important too. Seeing is important also. But the thing is, when you see someone and they haven't opened their mouth, you know nothing. You don't know if they're knowledgeable, you don't know if they're ignorant, you don't know if they're speaking the truth or they represent the falsehood, you don't know anything. The moment you hear what's being said, the moment you analyze what's being said, then really the true analysis is hearing. This is what makes us different from animals. Animals can just see and make a conclusion. Animals can just see, but human beings don't just hear sounds, we process, we analyze. Allah says that what you listen to is going to be questioned. You know what that means before we go any further? It means that you and I have to become very serious about where we get our information from. What is it that we're listening to? Who is it that we're listening to? Why is it that we're listening to them? And even if you're listening to anybody, even if you're listening to the news, or to some lecture, or somebody give a talk, or whatever you're listening to, in what way are you processing it? Are you processing it with the assumption that I already know what this guy's all about? I already know what these people are all about? Either you're overly in favor of something, like some people love a certain news channel, right? So even before the speaker speaks something, they already know he's gonna tell the truth. This is absolutely true no matter what, because this is the channel that protects my country. You know? They've already made that decision. Or there are people that are so against, before the guy even opens his mouth, this guy's nonsense. These people don't know what they're talking about. You haven't even heard, you've just seen, and you're like, you've written people off. No. Whether you're against someone or in favor of someone, be ready to stand against someone you're in favor of. Be ready to stand in favor of someone you might have been against. Maybe 99% you disagree, but the 1% you agree, you have to say, I agree. You can't just disagree with everything, because the ultimate loyalty is actually to ilm. لَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. So, you know, for young students that study Islam, study deen, they develop a love of their teacher. Whoever they study Quran from, tafsir from, hadith from, fiqh from, aqidah from, they develop a love of them. Now, out of love of them, if they said something and it's not making sense to the student, it's not making sense. I mean, you have this opinion, you have this conclusion, but I've read otherwise, or I've learned otherwise. And you're saying, well, now I have to choose between my loyalty to my teacher or my loyalty to what I'm convinced of, and I should question. And some students say, I shouldn't even ask the question because it's disrespectful to the teacher. And I say, how? If angels didn't understand something, they asked Allah. Why are you putting a human being on earth? He's going to spill blood. They asked who? They asked Allah. And that's not disrespect. So how are you and I thinking that questioning something to get to knowledge is disrespect? As a matter of fact, the greatest fuqaha in the ummah, all of them became great because they disagreed with their teachers. That's how they became what they became. You know? So that's a bit on the side about hearing. Then he says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ, to look at something. Now, this is a process Allah is telling us. The process is, first, you really have to analyze the information. And once you truly analyze the information, the way you see things is going to change. I told you, when somebody walks in, everybody sees the same thing. But if they're thinkers, then they will actually end up seeing the same thing. They will not make assumptions. They will not fill in holes with what they don't know. So the way they look at reality, the way they understand events, is going to change. They're not going to jump to conclusions towards or in favor of someone. They're not going to jump to conclusions against someone. They're not going to say, I already know what happened. I'll tell you one interesting story. So, and inshallah we'll conclude, because I know I am late. So, Musa alayhi salam was a royal. He was raised as a prince in Egypt. And the followers, his own race, the Israelites, were slaves. And they were treated like garbage. The police used to beat them up. Quran even says that they used to let their women live and kill the sons every other, you know, Quran doesn't say every other year, but every so often, because they didn't want too many boys. Because that'd be too many population, they might stand up and fight against them. So they wanted to control the population of the slaves. But let the women live also means humiliate the women. And the men couldn't do anything about it. This is the kind of life they lived. And they were tortured and beat and forced to do work. This is what they were used to doing. Musa alayhi salam is in the street one day, empty street, it's Qaylula time, it's the afternoon time, Hina ghaflatin min ahliha. He sees a police officer beating up a slave. He sees a cop beating up a slave. Now, this is not a new scene. You've seen this 1,000 times. You see, this happens every day in Egypt. This has been going on for centuries. You understand? And here he is, he sees yet another police officer beating yet another poor slave, innocent guy. And he decides to defend. And he throws in, you know the story, he throws a punch and the police officer died. He tried to stop it, he threw a punch, the police officer died. What's interesting to me is what he said right after that. Immediately after Musa alayhi salam punched him, Quran records in Surah Al-Qasas, he said, "Hada min amal al-shaytan." This is from the work of shaitan. What he just did, he called it himself, work of shaitan. Why? He did the right thing. He stopped oppression. These guys, these kuffar, they oppress my fellow Muslim brothers every chance they get. And here it is, another case of the same thing. What he realized is that he didn't properly investigate. Every case is different. So what if you saw it 1,000 times? The number 1,001 is a unique case, and it turned out that in this case, actually, the guy was the criminal. The guy was a con artist who actually ended up getting Musa alayhi salam in trouble to begin with. So what Musa alayhi salam has taught us there is not to jump to conclusions, and it's so easy to do so. If emotions get fired up, you can just jump to a conclusion, right? So what does Allah mention? He says, seeing, hearing, and what was the last thing I said? The heart. Wal fu'ad. Now in Quran, in Arabic, the word for the heart is qalb. But another word for the heart is fu'ad, which comes from the verb fa'ad. Fa'ad al-lahm, or lahmun fa'id, to roast meat. The word is used when your heart is overwhelmed. Like if you're really angry, or you're really excited, or you're really in love, or you're really full of hate, or you're really anxious, or you're really afraid, or you're really sad. When your heart is set on fire by an emotion, when you're overwhelmed by an emotion, then it's no longer called qalb, it's called fu'ad. Allah is saying that when you hear something, and you see something, and it fires you up, and because it fired you up, you acted a certain way. You got emotional, you got riled up, and you acted a certain way. And then later on, when people do that, they say, you know what, I wasn't myself. I did that, I didn't mean it. I wasn't me. This is not the normal me. When people get fired up, they say things, they do things that they wouldn't normally do. Allah says, all of that is going to be interrogated. Meaning you're not going to be able to say before Allah, "Ya Allah, I was really emotional at the time, and that's why I did that." Allah says, "I will ask you about what you heard. I will ask you about what you saw. And I will ask you how you allowed your emotions to run crazy and do whatever you want. I will ask you about that. You will be questioned about that." Why? Because if we truly were people of listening, if we truly were people of analyzing, then our emotions would not be the first response. Our thinking would be the first response. And that's really the conclusion of what I wanted to share with you. You see, how will you know that you're following this ayah or not following this ayah? Because this commandment of Allah is powerful. How will we know? Because, and I said it's reminding us of Judgment Day, because Allah says, Allah will question us on Judgment Day about this. Did you follow this process? How do you know and I know if we're following this process? When you hear any news, or you're in the middle of a conversation, or you get some information, if you are the kind of person that quickly gets emotional and has an immediate conclusion about what all of this means, before you say, hold on, let's think about this. Hold on, let's analyze this. Let's get the full picture before we jump to conclusions. If you don't have that, if somebody in your family says, no, let's think about it. What do you mean think about it? You want to just sit there and do nothing? We're not cowards. We have to respond. We have to do something. If that's your reaction all the time, then you're in violation of this ayah. That because then your fu'ad is being run in whatever direction it wants, and the sam' and basar are not being used to contain it. Not being used to keep it in check. And what happened when Musa alayhi salam saw something that upset him and he took action? He called it what? The work of what? Shaitan. The work of shaitan. That is the work of shaitan we saw in New Zealand today. Somebody who listens to bits and pieces of information, makes a conclusion in their head about who these people are. Nobody will be willing to kill another human being until they completely dehumanize them. He's been following rhetoric and toxic information for months and months and months until it's built up in his head, in addition to all the other psychological disorders that must be going on. But we're reminded of an example. May Allah give those shuhada Jannah and their families sabr, that their loved ones are in Jannah. But I have to say, what you see, the news reports that as extremism. The news reports that action as extremism. Quran is telling us that evil did not start in that masjid. That evil started when this person was given something corrupt to hear and corrupt to see over and over and over again until their heart became overwhelmed and they took that action.
So there was something happening way before. It's been boiling for a long time. And then it boils over and tips over. Every now and then when you see an extreme incident within the Muslims, within the non-Muslims, in any context, it is a result of this. It is a result of people not being able to gauge their emotions, control their emotions. Why? Because they're no longer a people of thought. They're no longer a people of critical thinking. And this is something that non-Muslims are guilty of. This is equally something Muslims are guilty of. Equally something Muslims are guilty of. We don't like to take a step back and just think before we pass judgment, before we make conclusions, before we take action. And as a matter of fact, anybody who says, let's stop before we take action, let's stop before we say something, let's stop before we, let's analyze, maybe we're going to do more damage than good. Let's stop and do, no, why are you being a coward? We have to take action. We have to stand tall. We have to be brave. The more emotional you get, the further you are from the truth. The further you and I are from the truth. In the sam'a wal basara wal fu'ad kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Last reminder I share with you, the ayah began, لا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. The ayah started with knowledge and ended with extreme emotions. Yeah? Why? Because those are two opposite things. Even if you have a lot of knowledge, if you're not able to control your emotions, that knowledge means nothing. Means nothing. And even if you have a little bit of knowledge, but you're able to control your emotions, you're able to hold back and be able to say, you know what, I don't have all the information. I'm not going to pass judgment. You can take a step back and admit your ignorance. Then you're going to be saved. You're going to save yourself quite a bit of trouble. Quite a bit of trouble. May Allah Azza wa Jalla truly make us a people of thought. And the people that use the gift of hearing, and the gift of seeing, and the gift of the fu'ad in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to use it. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa al-Hakim.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على الصلاة لا